Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:50 in that specific summer time on June 2nd. Well, today, perhaps the more important movers were not really quite the instruments that really made the big headlines. Australia today was weaker, but the Australian dollar was up in a pretty significant way. So it's really the dollar's weakness in here today is the main story. That's despite the fact that this European situation continues to rumble on, but there was a late-night meeting among the European ministers and, well, the prime ministers and the Troika to see if they could iron something out. So optimism about the potential for a deal has improved in here today. That means that the euro has been firmer and that it is now pushing through the 110, it's into 111. And that the progression of higher reaction lows from the low in March continue to hold. The European stock markets were a bit weaker as a result. The inverse correlation, where they've rallied on the back of euro weakness, has unwound, and this process of mean reversion is still underway. But so far it's still just a process of mean reversion, in just the same way that the euro's rally is a process of mean reversion, considering just how quickly it had fallen. When we look into Asia, then the currency and stock markets are not linked in quite the same way, but there is certainly some sort of correlation now between, for example, the weakness of the Thai baht and the fact that the SET index has got this rounding characteristic consistent with topping activity, that it really does need a fairly impressive upward dynamic to reinvigorate the bullish side of that argument. The Singapore dollar has also been fairly weak. It's probably strengthening up right now, and then that should lend some support to the stock market, but the stock market was down pretty sharply in here today as well. And then when you look at Australia, then it's right back to test its lows. And the strength of the Aussie dollar, the fact that it had bounced, come back to test an area of previous support and bounced again in here today, suggests that the outlook for the stock market might also be that we're going to find it bouncing in the region of a previous area of support. But it's certainly one to watch in here at the moment because it's back at an interesting level. The New Zealand dollar is also worthy of mention because it had broken down yesterday, and today's strength takes it right back up to test the lower side of the overhead trading range. It will have to strengthen additionally from here to signify that this is a failed downside break, and it hasn't quite done that just yet. Well, Japan was a little bit firmer in here today, and I wonder, are we going to get a little bit of consolidation now, considering that the dollar is weakening a little bit in here, and that the weakness of the yen has been one of the driving factors behind the outperformance of the Nikkei just over the last couple of weeks, and it does have a short-term overbought condition. The Chinese market, where you don't really have any kind of currency movement of note, but it was stronger again in here today by an additional percent, pushing back up to test, not quite yet there, but getting pretty close to the highs that we saw last week. Well, there was a large downside key reversal from that high last week, and at least some consolidation in that region is probably in order before we can see a sustained move to new highs. What you have in China, though, is that there is a policy of interest rates being cut and direct support for the stock market, and really getting the retail population involved in the stock market after what has been a really quite a long hiatus. The main story out of India today was that Mr. Rajan is worried about inflation and that he didn't cut interest rates as much as people had hoped for. Well, that sent the stock market down about 2%, and it's back down towards the 8,000 level. Well, the index has been ranging now between about 8 and 9,000 for the last 3 months, and it's predictably unwinding what was an incredibly impressive performance last year. it really does need to hold that low in the region of 8,000, because if it doesn't, then this is going to turn into a much larger reaction, which could potentially be lengthy in terms of its duration, and we could be into a longer process of consolidation before the market can move on to new highs. Unfortunately, this is going to be contingent on just how good the monsoon is, because Rajan has linked that to his decision as to whether he will lower interest rates even further from here. And so far, the monsoon hasn't really been particularly favorable. With the dollar weakening, the majority of the US indices were in negative territory today, but again, not by very much. In fact, the environment has been incredibly inert on the indices, despite the fact that there has been some fireworks in terms of M&A activity. This remains a rangy environment, and not least because the Fed has ended its quantitative easing program, and there's still a lot of debate about exactly what's going to happen in terms of monetary policy. With continued stress in a number of the major economies and just about everybody cutting interest rates, then it's very difficult for the Fed to do the same. For the Fed to raise interest rates when everyone else is cutting them. That probably means that it's going to take longer, that even if they were to raise interest rates, that the interval between the first and second interest rate hike could be potentially lengthy. This uncertainty is contributing to the rangy environment that we have, but that the progression of higher reaction lows remains very much intact. And as long as that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the medium-term upside. In the commodities sector, platinum is right back testing its lows and steadied a little bit in here today. It was up $9. Oil prices, particularly WTI, were firm in here today. Brent crude was up about 75 cents, but WTI was stronger by a dollar. That means that the progression of higher reaction lows evident since the beginning of the year is still intact, that the low that we saw last week is the most relevant in terms of that progression, and that the process of mean reversion relative to the 200-day moving average is still underway. We haven't seen an uptick yet in the Baker Hughes rig count. We'll find that out. They updated on Wednesdays and Fridays, so we'll find out tomorrow how that's moving on. But we're still in this mean reversion. There is the potential that WTI rallied more this week because not just because of inventories, or perhaps inventories, it came down because of the bad weather that we have in Texas and Oklahoma and the flooding, and not least around the Houston area. So that there is that potential in there that this is just weather, but that as long as the progression of higher reaction lows is intact, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to at least the upside in the short term. Gold prices were relatively inert, and copper prices are worthy of mention. That if you look at the 5-year chart of copper, that there's this progression of lower rally highs that's been evident really for about 4 years. And there's a short-term progression of higher reaction lows coming back to the recent low. Well, copper encountered resistance in the region of $3, and that's the lower side of the overhead trading range. It's also where the progression of lower rally highs is, and it's firming today to hold the very short-term progression of higher reaction lows. So we have this triangular pattern, and these triangular patterns will generally resolve with a breakout in either one direction or the other. So we give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent upward dynamic and suggesting that we're going to get back up and test that $3 level. But what happens at that juncture is probably going to be a good indication of what we can expect from not just copper, but the industrial metals more generally. Interestingly as well, that nickel has come right back to test its lows and is also firming in here. Well, I've been putting up a number of commodity-related charts over the last few weeks, not least in the mining sector, because what we're starting to see is evidence of base formation development and, in some cases, completion. And that's interesting, not least because the wider market is largely range-bound, and that we're slowly but surely starting to see the resources sector moving to a position of outperformance, which is generally something that you would see in the latter stages of a medium-term bull market. It generally also means that we're we're only in the early stages of that, and that you would expect a major outperformance from that sector before all is said and done. So it's worth monitoring, but we're probably not quite there yet. I think with that, I'll leave you for today. I'll wish all the best to all of you.